It was just crazy. And while I'm driving, my left foot gets a pain in it. And I can't figure out what's going on. So I'm trying to move my foot and move it in all different spots and everything. And it just wouldn't go away. And by the time we got to London, I could hardly put any pressure on my foot at all, which is crazy. So today we're continuing in the series on what Jesus said, and you're probably wondering what this has to do with it. And if you're thinking we're going to do foot washing, we're not, okay? So you can take a sigh of relief right now. But what happened was when I got there, the pain was incredible. And the more I walked on it, the better it got. But as soon as I stopped walking on it, and if I took the pressure off my left foot, I could just feel it was like a rush going to my foot. And then when I tried to walk on it again, the pain was incredible. And so I had this pain in my foot that was just, it was unbearable. Yeah, I'm a foot model on the side. I think my foot would be a little longer than that. But it ended up, what I have is called plantar fasciitis. How many have ever heard of this? How many have it? Wow. So you know what I'm talking about, right? And the thing is, at any given time, it will flare up. There's no warning sign, there's nothing, and all of a sudden that pain will be there again. Every time we drive through Toronto, I am reminded of that day when the pain first started, and whether I have the pain or not, I can feel that pain again. We also can suffer from emotional pain the same way. Something that has happened a while ago, and we can get to the point where we think we are okay, but then all of a sudden we'll be reminded of it, or a memory will come back, and the pain of that emotion will come back as if it's brand new. Verbal pain, abuse, all of these things are pain that we can experience in our life, and at any given time, just like that, we can be reminded of it and taken back to it, to the point where we think that it just happened. And there are thousands of examples of people's hurts and their pain, their anxieties, their fear, that they never really seem to leave. And they have a tremendous effect on us. So today I don't really want to talk about feet. But for a moment, I think for you to get the most out of this message today, I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little unusual. But I want you to identify with a hurt in your life right now. Not out loud, but to yourself. What is an area in your life that is a hurt? It could be emotional. It could be abuse. And think of this thing. And let's look at what Jesus said and compare it to that. Okay? And so for most of you right now, you're thinking of an event. It could be a moment, it could be a person, it could be a situation. And even now, you can still feel that pain. Just like my foot, I can think about that and I can still feel that pain. And you could sit and do nothing. And all of a sudden, that pain will come back. You'll remember it. You could find yourself thinking about it, and it hurts as if it was brand new. And the thing is, it doesn't need to be an old hurt. This can be a new thing. This could be even something that you're going through right now. So what is your hurt? What is your hurt? Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And what we're going to be looking at today is the power of forgiveness. And in Matthew chapter 6, we read here where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and they get to the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is really teaching his disciples how to petition God. And I thought in B-Lad's prayer this morning, he did this perfectly. And in verse 12, we read, "And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." We've all said the Lord's Prayer perhaps hundreds, if not thousands of times. And I think for most of us, we could probably recite it by memory. And we read through these words, and yet we don't really give a lot of thought to them in what Jesus is really saying. And so what Jesus does is, after this prayer, he really wants to get the context of what he just said on how we should pray. He wants to drive the point home. So in verse 14, he says, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." This is what Jesus is referring to in verse 12 in the Lord's Prayer. Did Jesus really just say that? Did Jesus really just say that if we forgive other people when they have sinned against us, that our Heavenly Father will forgive us? Because the very next verse says, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Did Jesus really just say that? Forgiveness. Now, that hurt that you've thought of, lay this over it. Lay this context of what Jesus just said over that hurt, and how does it look? Because the measure of forgiveness you show to others is the measure of forgiveness God uses when he deals with you. So you can see why we've included this into, did Jesus just say that? And for a lot of us, we look at it and we say, but I'm the one that's been hurt. I'm the one that's been sinned against. And maybe it was a verbal attack, maybe it was an emotional attack, maybe we've been betrayed, or we've been at the end of some deceitful scheme. And whatever it is, we feel that it's unwarranted and it's unfair. And yet, what is our natural response in these situations? Do we look at it and say, I cannot wait till I get to repay that? Do we remember things over time and somehow they get magnified and they become bigger than they really are, much like fishing stories? Or do you plan your response by future attacks? How do we view it? And it wouldn't surprise me if for many of us the response of forgiving them is either way down on the list or it doesn't even make the list. It's hard to forgive when we've been hurt. Right? It's hard to forgive when we've been hurt. And I know some of your stories. And I know that for a lot of you, you've been at the end of some pretty horrific pain in your life. I know that. Some of you have suffered from abuse, distress, grief. And I understand that when we raise the issue of forgiveness, it raises with it a whole lot of questions. And for some of us, we think if we're continually hurt, don't I have a right to protect myself? Don't I have that right? The person that sins against me, what about their obligations? What about them? What are they supposed to do? If somebody continually sins against me and hurts me, is it not better for me to withhold my forgiveness until I feel that they have reached an adequate place in their life where they have repented enough and have shown enough change that then I will forgive them? So, do I forgive on my terms? Does forgiving mean I need to forget? There's a lot of questions. A lot of important questions. And these questions need answering. But I believe before we can get into the answer to this, we have to look at what Jesus was saying when he said it, but if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. And some may look at that and say, well, I think God's being a little unfair. I don't think he's being very good with me on this one. But the truth of the matter is that he is giving us a way to move forward. He is giving us a way to move forward when we have been significantly hurt in our life. So I think to better understand this, we need to look at one of Jesus' parables. So let's flip over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. The parable of the unforgiving servant. This starts off with Peter asking the question. He says, how many times should I forgive my brother? Here's a key point in this. Peter knows he needs to forgive. He was there when Jesus gave the example we just read about the Lord's Prayer and the act of forgiving. Peter understands he needs to forgive. The question was, how much? How much do I need to forgive? 7 times? And Jesus answers and says, no, 70 times 7. And what really Jesus is saying is that we want to know what the number is, and what Jesus is saying here, he says, it's not up for us to keep a count. We don't keep a log and say, okay, they wronged us. They wronged us. And once we hit a number, we say, okay, there's no more forgiveness for you. It's not up to us to keep a count. And so to better understand this, Jesus goes through this parable of the unforgiving servant. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in this, but I think the servant had a huge debt. And basically the king says, okay, it's time to repay the debt. How much was the debt? Who can tell me? How much was the debt? 10,000 talents. Okay. So we look at that in our terms, we say, what is that? Hey? More than Bill Gates has got. This is what it works out to. In order to repay 10,000 talents, it would take 160,000 years of wages. For what they were making in a day, to repay that amount of money, this is how long it would take. Would we not say that's a pretty substantial debt? And right now you're saying to your wife, see, our credit card debt's not that bad. The interesting part in this, though, is that there was an account of the debt. There was an account. So it wasn't just, well, it's a lot of money. There was an account that was being kept track of for what the debt is, the amount of the debt. And in Matthew 18:26, we read this, as the servant fell on his knees before him, this is what he said. He said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. His master knew there is no way you can repay that debt. It is impossible. And yet the man says, be patient with me. I'll pay you back everything. And yet he said, I forgive you and I canceled the debt. This parable isn't about money. It's not money. It's the magnitude of our debt and our ability to pay it. We all have a sin debt that we cannot pay. And we all have a sin debt that God is keeping an account of. And there is sin that we have committed in our life that God knows about. We cannot repay it. Right? The reality is that we are born in sin. That's how we start our life. We are born in sin. The reality is our minds will turn towards it. And we keep looking in the direction of sin. Just like Eve seeing the apple on the tree, she seen that it was pleasing to the eye. We are drawn towards sin. The reality is that we're constantly tempted by it, and we are constantly surrounded by it. The reality is that there is sin in our life. But the saddest fact, getting a little bit of a ring, Joel. The saddest fact is the fact that we are sinning against God. And every time we sin, this is what we are saying: your ways are not good enough for me, and I have chosen an alternative answer. And so what does God do in response to this huge debt that we have? What does God do? He sends his son to pay the debt for our sin. He dies on the cross and sheds his blood so that we can receive forgiveness. We are the ones who incurred the debt. And yet God says, I will provide the answer for you. I will take the debt that you owe, and I will cancel that debt. I will cancel the debt. And when God forgives, he makes this twofold promise. First, God promises that he will not remember those things which he has forgiven. I thought I'd get at least one amen out of that. He will not remember the things that he has forgiven. He will not continue to bring it up before us and say, oh, Chris, remember when? God doesn't do that, does he? God doesn't continue to treat us as sinners. Rather, he sees us as we are in Christ. Perfect. Redeemed. Righteous. Holy. That is what justification is all about. Just as if I had never sinned, Jesus has paid the debt. Secondly, God promises to accept us as we are. We are the struggling redeemed, and yet he accepts us. Because we are not just sinners. We are sinners who have received God's grace through the blood of Christ. God does not see us as people who have an infinite debt of sin. Rather, God sees us as holy, righteous, and blameless. Believers who have been forgiven through the blood of Christ. Amen. So when it comes to this parable, God the Father is the master who forgave the huge debt that could never be repaid. And the servant is shown an infinite amount of grace. But the parable doesn't end there, does it? As soon as this man had been released from his debt, he runs into a fellow servant who owes him a small amount of money. And he grabs that man around the neck and he says, you need to pay me what you owe me. Here's the interesting thing. If you look at verse 26 and 29, both men say the identical thing. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. You would think that this plea from this man would remind him of the debt he had just been forgiven, because that's what he asked for. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. This man that owed him a little, he's saying, be patient with me, I will pay you back. Does it refresh his memory? No. Does he forgive the man of his debt? No. Far from it. The one who had so much forgiven is unable to forgive so little. Friends, we need to keep this in perspective a little bit, and I don't know if I can do a good job of communicating this. When people sin against us, and I'm going to oversimplify it just for my example, that's one thing that they've done against us. And we can't forgive that. And God is saying, I know all of your sin. A debt you could never pay, and I forgive you. We've been forgiven so much. And trust me, I know your stories. You have been forgiven so much. I have been forgiven so much. Honestly. Have we not? And yet we will hold on to things and we will not forgive. We've been forgiven a debt that we cannot repay. If I can't forgive the people who have hurt me or require my forgiveness, does that mean I do not understand God's forgiveness for me? Does that mean I don't understand it? I don't understand the magnitude of it? All the other questions about forgiveness, remember I said there's a lot of questions around forgiveness, they are totally secondary to this question. If I can't forgive people who have hurt me, does that mean I do not have a full understanding of God's forgiveness for me? That is the bigger question. The people that I have seen that have the biggest hearts, that can forgive, are those people that truly understand what it means to be forgiven by God. And they walk in that grace. Jesus is saying these things and they're hard. And Jesus is really showing us a way that we can move forward. We can move forward in strength, that we can move forward in grace, that we can move forward in Jesus when we've been sinned against. Forgiving those who have hurt me deeply. Forgiving those who have not asked for it. Forgiving those who have hurt me repeatedly. Forgiving those who have taken me for granted. Forgiving those that should have known better. And forgiving those that don't even realize they've done anything wrong. To forgive. And when I forgive others, I'm doing nothing more than giving them what God has given me. He has forgiven me when I've hurt him deeply. He has forgiven me when I did not ask for it. He has forgiven me when I hurt him repeatedly. He has forgiven me when I took him for granted. He has forgiven me when I should have known better. And he has forgiven me even if I don't even realize I've done wrong. I am not going to be defined by what others have done to me. I am not going to be defined by what others have said about me. And what they have said to me does not need to become my reality. And it does not need to become yours. I am going to be defined by who I am in Christ. Amen. Period. Your opinion, no matter. Sorry, it doesn't matter. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Friends, if we want unity, this is where it starts. Nothing will bring disunity in the church, in any organization for that matter, in a home, quicker than unforgiveness. Nothing. Who are we to think that you have to measure up to me? Is God not the ultimate judge? I just need to forgive. I'll let him worry about the other stuff. Forgive. You want freedom? You want to experience freedom in your life? Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. We are not to keep account of wrongs. We are to forgive. Amen? You know what amen means? Jesus said what? Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin." Is there anyone in here without sin? Is there? Put up your hand. I see that. No, I don't. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short. And many of us have fallen short today, already. And some of you are upset that I'm preaching this. Everything is about forgiveness and repentance. Jesus, you know, who is Jesus? What did he do? And some of us, we look at him and say, well, he's a great teacher. He was a healer. Look at the people he healed. He came as the sacrificial Lamb of God. His purpose was to die for us so that we can experience forgiveness and be free from a debt that we could not pay. That is why Jesus came. And I have no doubt it breaks his heart. And I would dare say that the pain of the cross doesn't even compare to the pain that he feels now when we can't forgive each other. It breaks his heart. And it breaks mine. And it should break yours. Let's stand together. Remember, I asked you at the beginning to think of that hurt in your life and to lay this over it. I want you to, right now, just between you and God, just pray that out. If we need to forgive someone, then forgive them. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I know it's not easy. I know sometimes what your word tells us to do, we find it very difficult. It's not easy. But I thank you that you provide us the example that even while you were on the cross, you said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Father, help us to really to learn and understand what it means to forgive. That's just not something that we think in our head. But Father, earnestly, from our heart, we forgive. Father, forgive us of those that we have not forgiven. And Father, help us to learn the power of forgiveness. The fact that you have forgiven us of a debt that we could in no way repay. And despite of who we are, you died for us anyway. Thank you. And Father, we thank you for having Christine here today. We just ask you to continue to touch her in Jesus' name right now. We just pray for healing in her body. Father, we pray for Carol Ann this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus right now that this cancer will be removed from her body. In Jesus' name. And Father, we Thank you for Audrey this morning, this precious life, this gift from you. We just pray that you'll be all over her, that you'll anoint her, Father, that you'll bless her, that you'll be with her mom and dad. And we thank you for her safe arrival. So, Father, help us to forgive. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.